The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
It's 88.5, the SoCal Sound. My name is Hillary. Very excited to have Colin Malloy of The Decemberists joining us today. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
So you have a new album coming out, first album in 6 years.
Yeah.
As It Ever Was, So It Will Be Again. That's the name of it. That's a mouthful.
You got it right.
I'm so glad I did. I practiced that. first album in 6 years. I know you have not been sitting idle in between. I know you're a writer. You've written some novels. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing these past 6 years? Also, first album post-COVID, right?
Yeah, first post-COVID record. Our last record came out in 2018. And in the meantime, right when the pandemic hit, I was working on a novel. So it was sort of a perfect time for a global pandemic for me. I don't know about you guys. But was able to kind of lock in and finish that book. And that came out in a year and a half ago. And then I was also doing some other little projects, writing music for a musical theater piece that's still kind of very early developmental stages, and other songwriting stuff, and then just being like a dad, you know.
Which takes time, I hear.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah.
So that's what was consuming my time.
Do you find that your novel writing influences your songwriting at all, or vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of play off each other nicely. In some ways, my experience has been is that they are so different that they're kind of each of them a break from the other, that sometimes if I can't handle the manual labor of the novel writing, sometimes taking a break and working on songs will actually feel really refreshing. And similarly, I feel like novel writing, you feel like you can immerse yourself in a way you can't with songs.
Right. So I'm a big lyrics person myself.
Okay.
And you have a new single that we are playing a ton here on the SoCal Sound.
Great, awesome.
Yeah, Burial Ground. And I was just telling you how it's always stuck in my head. It's so catchy. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this song.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to talk about the lyrics because I was sitting on the 405 the other day just kind of singing along and I was like, what did I just, and I was singing about catching malaria going to a burial ground. So what is the song about?
Well, I mean, it's about death, right? And it's about reckoning with death, but really it's about the relationship between these two people. In my mind, this person, Len, and the person who's speaking to Len and how they are going to the burial ground. It's sort of like a safe haven, you know, all these things happening around them, and yet there's a kind of a sanctity and a safety in spending time at a burial ground. You know, and I also think that maybe they're kind of teenage goths, potentially. You know, there's a wide world of who those characters are. And then it just kind of toys with that idea of death and, you know, making jokes about death, you know, things being gravely held and things like that. And then contracting malaria. Well, that piece kind of got tagged on at the end. We were playing it live and it needed that kind of kicker.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of sang that and it was funny.
It is a kicker.
Kept it.
Yeah. Yeah, it sticks in my head, definitely. Yeah. So James Mercer from The Shins is on this song. How did that come about?
That happened. We were working on the arrangement, and we had this like kind of relative for us anyway, a relatively complex like backing vocal arrangement, kind of Beach Boys-y, and we had everybody on hand. Like, but I didn't want to do it. We felt like it would be an opportunity to have like a singer with a distinctive voice to do it, and so we were like, well, let's just get James. And I actually texted him. I had no idea. I hadn't seen him in months. I had no idea if he was in town or not. Turned out he was. He could come in the next day.
That's
and
nice.
He just came in.
So he's from Portland too.
He's a Portlander,
yeah. I think Portland band. So you guys are friends. You knew each other before this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's jump into it. Let's hear the new song.
Oh, land, come down. Meet at the burial ground. They've undid the aerial, tore down the merry-go-round. Oh, this world's all wrong, so let's go where we belong. Pack up the stereo, meet at the burial ground. Here among the fallen leaves, Are we alone the ones that dare to breathe? Throw your worries down, they're all so gravely held. You have carried them so well. Whoa, 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 then come down and meet at the burial ground. They've undid the aerial, tore down the merry-go-round. Oh, this world's all right, so let's go where we belong. Pack up the stereo, meet at the burial ground. And you lay down below a stone, sand, wherever they have gone, I long to go. Somewhere out beyond these melodies in my head. At least I think that's what you said. Ooh-oh, ooh-oh, oh, then calm down. Meet at the burial ground. They've undid the aerial, tore down the merry-go-round. Oh, this world's all right, so let's go where we belong. Pack up the stereo, meet at the burial ground. To contract malaria, meet at the burial ground.
Okay, let's talk about the tour.
Okay,
so you guys have a pretty extensive tour planned. You're playing a couple nights here in July, 14th mm-hmm. and 15th at the Bellwether. First night already sold out, but mm-hmm. still tickets available for the second. So tell me what it's like touring. Do you like it, or is it just like part of the job? You've been doing it for almost 25 years now with the Decemberists.
Yeah.
What's it like?
You know, I think the performance aspect, doing the shows, is like the best thing in the world. It's something I live for. If it could just be that, I would be a very happy man. Mm-hmm. But it is surrounded by, you know, 22 hours of a lot of waiting around, a lot of bad sleep, mm-hmm. a lot of being away from home, and just kind of being shuttling from one place to another and hanging out in strange places. So that aspect I don't love, but the performance, clearly it must, there must be a balance there, otherwise
right.
I wouldn't be doing it.
Right, you probably get to a certain point in your career where it's not necessary to tour anymore, but you're still out there doing it.
It's probably still pretty necessary.
Well,
album sales and streams, you know, musicians' incomes
right.
being what it is
yeah,
these days.
Right, that makes sense. So I've seen you guys a couple of times, always in California.
Mm.
And so whenever you guys play Calamity Song,
oh, yeah.
there's the line about California, right. you know, succumbing to the fault line and everyone sighing a relief. And every time I see you guys play that, the crowd just like claps along and it always kind of confuses me. What
no,
do you
I get
think
it. I,
when
I
that happens?
I kind of figure that, well, first off, I think anytime you name check a state or a town, people lose it, which is so it's kind of funny to have it be negative.
Yeah.
And the imagine, you know, California, everybody dying.
Yeah, exactly. And the crowd goes wild.
Thousands of innocents died. But I think people that come to our shows tend to have kind of a macabre sense of humor mm-hmm. anyway. So I think that's probably
sense.
Where that comes
yeah.
from.
Yeah. And also your live shows are like quite theatrical, mm-hmm. I've noticed. Like mm-hmm. lots of crowd participation. And last time I saw you guys, maybe about 7 years ago, you brought this like giant whale
yeah.
out on the stage. And it just feels more theatrical than your average rock show.
Sure.
So why do you guys incorporate that kind of feeling?
I mean, I think that all happened really spontaneously and organically. I mean, I grew up liking, like seeing bands that weren't super theatrical on stage, but were just very loose on stage and weren't afraid of kind of messing with each other and kind of, I think of like seeing Robin Hitchcock and his like these long monologues in between songs, or seeing I remember seeing Unrest, that band, and the bass player like tripping the guitar player on stage and both of them falling down on the ground and playing while on the ground. It just like, it just seems like a good opportunity just to kind of make that experience more freeing rather than the sort of state I'm performing for you, you're appreciating it, you know? And then that has developed into these kind of more elaborate ways of kind of messing with the audience.
Yeah, it kind of takes that third wall down. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Your shows are a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Let's hear another song off the album. Next one we're going to hear is called Oh No. Want to talk about it at all?
Oh No, sure. It's about a bunch of like chaos makers, loosely inspired by Emir Kusturica's Underground.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie.
Okay.
It was on a wedding night, how they danced by the firelight. And the bride was well arrayed by her 15 chambermaids. As a father raised a toast to the health of all the hosts, we descended from the apse to bear witness to the whole collapse. And it's oh no, we're jumped up and ready to go. Where do you think that the money comes from? Do you think it just naturally grows? And it's oh no, we lurk at the end of the row, listening for whistling a bang from the drums. And it seems that we've caught you in tow, between the devil and the devil you know. In the back of the bazaar, by the tramps and the muscle cars, we have gathered two by two just to figure out what to do. Pretty Sarah's a sordid mess, she's gone and spoiled her party dress. All her suitors so entranced, who will join her in the ambulance? And it's so sure that you just love to know, but what will you do when the rumpus is done and it's time that we all were gone home? And it's oh no, kick up your heels in a row, a song that is sung where my people come from. And it's best when it's not sung alone, but with the devil and the devil you know. Bum ba da ba ba da ba, bum ba da ba ba da ba, bum ba da ba ba da ba, bum ba da ba ba da ba. And it's oh no, dash him in one final blow. Stick to the rackets, the heavy's a hack, and he's singing pianissimo. For the devil and the devil we know. When the casks have all run dry and we've laid our knuckles by, standing legless on the pews, shouting curses to our union dues. Out beyond the city walls, in the grotesque mountain halls, there's a darkness coming on. So it's best I think we rambled on. And it's oh no, on to the next bloody show. You won't feel so loose with a noose round your neck when those cold winter winds start to blow. And it's oh no, one more before we go. How could we ever get used to this dreck? Cause I'm sick and I wanna go home. To the devil and the devil we know. To the devil and the devil we know. To the devil and the devil we know.
Yeah, so you guys are going to be out on tour, and Rat Boys are opening for you. I don't know this band. Can you tell us about them?
You know, I didn't know about them either until someone played, suggested as openers. And then I went back and listened to them, and I really enjoyed their stuff. It's very cool, kind of guitar-driven power pop, awesome. Which I have, you know, it's an easy way to my heart.
I hear you're a Morrissey fan.
I have a Moz tattoo.
Oh, so you're a big Morrissey fan. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Have you ever met him?
I've never met him, no.
Okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
that's probably
he's the sort of person, like, I've met a bunch of my heroes. He's the one where I'm like, would be a bummer.
That is fair enough.
And so I'm kind of okay keeping him at arm's length.
That's smart. Yeah. So let's go back to touring. Is there any place you like more than others? Is there any city that stands out that you love to play? Or are they all kind of similar?
I mean, it really depends. I mean, I feel like, and it depends on different times of our career. Like, I feel like early on, San Francisco was such a great city for, like, every time we came there, it'd be these raucous shows. And then recently going to, like, Washington, D.C., you know, has been a lot of fun. Though Washington, D.C. has always been great. I do like playing, because I grew up in Montana, and because as, like, a music fan in Montana growing up, I was so bummed that all of my favorite bands never, very rarely came through. I made it a point that we would play Montana on every tour, and so it's always fun playing there.
Is that full of friends and family when you play those Montana shows?
Yeah, that
makes it fun, I'm sure.
Totally.
So you're in L.A. right now. What do you like about L.A.? What do you like about being here?
I like the tacos.
The tacos are good. That's a good answer.
I like the weather.
It's hot today, though.
I also like the kind of old architecture. There's a lot to love, I think, about LA.
It's a good spot.
Even though I have kind of a weird relationship with it.
I think everyone has a weird relationship with LA. I think that's just how it is.
Yeah,
that's just how it is. So back to the new album. What can we expect from it? It comes out June 14th, so we're getting close.
Yeah. Well, it's our first proper double record. It's our longest record. Cool. And the sequencing process was very involved. And the four sides of the LP, I feel like, are four different sort of conceptually connected sides. And so ideally, you know, it's great from top to bottom, listen to it top to finish. But also I feel like there's a certain amount of, like, when you're in the mood for side two, you know, there's something there for you. Or side four, which is just one long song. So
how long?
A 19 minute.
No, that's
song.
A long song. Yeah.
So there's lots of, so in that sense, I think it should be an interesting lesson.
Yeah, and Mike Mills is on this album as
Mike
well.
Mike Mills is on it.
How did that happen?
Again, he was, he happened to be coming through town and playing with the Baseball Project, and Tucker Martin, our producer, knew that he was in town. We were like, let's just reach out and just see if he wants to do something. And he said he was available, so we just sent him what we were working on, which was Joan in the Garden. And he hummed some stuff on the drive in and showed up and sang and played some piano.
Wow, really cool. That's so cool. All right, let's hear another song off the album. We are going to hear All I Want Is You. You want to talk about that one?
Yeah, I guess it's just a very simple love song, you know, just very hard on its sleeve. Yeah. Very simple love song.
Awesome.
Don't want pretty poses, don't want a rose of roses. All I want is, all I want is. Don't want summer Mondays, don't want stunning wordplay. All I want is, all I want is. All I want is, all I want is you. All the United Nations couldn't feed my sensations half as much as how you do. And all I don't want run on phrases, your dull and moneyed phases, drinks and downers, out of towners, drag me to your altar when my footing falters. All I want is, all I want is you. All I want is, all I want is you. All the wives of Ohio couldn't move me a mile, half as much as how you do. And all I want is you. And all I want is you. And all I want is you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was so wonderful having you here. I can't wait to hear the album. And
yeah, I appreciate you having me.
See you guys play. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 FM, The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Hillary Gordon. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound Sessions are a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. On air at 88.5 FM and streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.